It's the sound. And get crazy, have some fun. Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. With me, as always, is the one, the only, Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley. How are you on this fine day, my good man?
Woot woot.
Did you do a woot woot?
I did.
It's going to happen. It's just going to get worse as the days go by. I'm sure that we're just going to become more and more old men.
Yes.
That's I don't know how you feel about it. I like it.
I'm getting used to it.
You're getting used to it? Make sure you talk right into that microphone so that we can hear you. Speaking of Christmas, here's what happened to me. Oh my God.
Your cookies are ready.
I gotta go, guys. I'll see you later. Stay frosty. Hump your loved one. I don't know how to turn this off. I wish that I was a baller. I wish that I was taller. I wish that I had a girl that was good and I would call her. Yeah, a little 1990s rap reference. You're welcome, everybody. You're welcome. So here's what's going on in Daddy's neck of the woods is, so I forgot to tell this yesterday. Oh. Before I get into anything,
yeah.
Speaking of last episode, I need to publicly apologize to Super Dave. Do you remember how I went off on him because he said my kids were spoiled?
I do.
And do you remember how I also said that as soon as I was done recording, I would feel immediately bad? And I did. And I was sitting in my house waiting to go get my, or I was walking to go get my kids. And I was like, you know, what if he was just saying those words? You know what I mean? Like, yes. To someone else in the chat. Like, I just looked up and kind of rudely eavesdropped in the middle of a conversation and then yes. Just jumped on it. And I said I was punchy. So I'm gonna Donald Trump this. I'm gonna not completely backpedal. I want to say sorry because he sent me an email basically going, no, I was just saying, yeah, it's spoiled kids. I'm with you, brother. Like,
right. I know. You took it so personally. I was looking at it going, why is he so mad at this? I can't tell.
I don't know what's wrong with me.
You had a head of steam going.
I did. Well, speaking of head of steam, I don't know when everybody else. You guys already got the tree? You do the tree?
No. Well, we it's in my garage. It's a fake tree.
I'm sorry, what?
We don't use a real tree at the Casa Lancini.
Why do you hate Christmas? That's loud.
Well, I grew up in Wisconsin. We used to cut our own trees down.
Uh-huh.
But I don't know. At some point, I guess Luna got tired of cleaning
up. Oh, it's Luna's fault. Is she in the chat room today? Oh, conveniently absent.
The thing is that there's a lot of needles and things like that. And she likes neatness. She likes things to be orderly. And so at some point after 10 or 15 years of doing it the other way, the old-fashioned way, the real way. She said, let's just get a fake tree.
Fuck it. Well, it's funny because one of the things...
I'm sorry, we're going to do that on the 24th when Chad comes back and we're all together.
Oh, I see. Everybody comes in. I was going to say, is that a normal thing to do on Christmas Eve? But it's because of his arrival.
Yes.
So he's missed nothing, right. Theoretically. So
yeah, we're not even going to dust.
I like this guy. I came down on him really hard, but Super Dave just said, boo, real trees are the best. This guy, he's got a lot of points. He may even be right about his malintent suggestion of my kids being spoiled.
I think so.
I've come full circle on him. No, I'm going to be doing a bit on the Bill Handel Show, KFI AM 640, more stimulating talk about real trees versus fake trees. Yeah. I'm going to be interviewing people and ridiculing them on both sides, making fun of them because that's what I do now. So we will start with you, the Lancini Casa.
Yeah,
it would be funny just to drop you in there because nobody else would really know except for the people who happen to tune in from this show. That would be fun. But here's what I do. I get the real tree. I did the lot. Have you ever done the lot?
And you could be impossibly rude to me. Because I'm in on it.
Yeah. I could just
shit
all over
exactly.
You.
Exactly. I'm there if you need me.
Wouldn't it be great if, like, I just do it now? Like,
yeah, right.
Which is how, like, just one high end and then the rest. Because I go out with a little recorder. The recorder I use for this podcast has a mic attachment. So it's just like, you hear in the background. Anyway, blah, blah, blah. I do real tree. You ever done the Christmas tree lot?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's how we've been doing it. It's only in Wisconsin.
You've only gone to the lot?
Yeah, what do you mean?
Well, maybe I'm... here's the thing.
No,
you
I'm
could
confused.
Go, you could go to the lot if you're a one percenter, and you could pay $100,000, I think, even on sale, $180,000 for a tree.
Hang on a second. Aren't there Christmas tree lots all over the place? Or are you talking about lot with a capital L or...
Big lot? Yeah. No, I'm talking about you could go to your hardware store, like a Lowe's or a Home Depot,
yes,
right?
Yes, precisely.
Or you go to what is, I don't understand. It's like they have, and maybe this is just Los Angeles, but they have vacant lots that are, just exist.
Yeah.
Except for pumpkins and Christmas trees.
Yeah.
And that's it.
Right.
And so it's like they have these two holidays to make up an entire annual's mortgage or rent or whatever.
Cover their nuts.
Yeah. So you pay like $420,000 for a pumpkin. And then maybe I was wrong on my, maybe it is more like $886,000 for a Christmas tree.
Yes. Conservatively.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No hyperbole.
No.
And so we did the Christmas tree lot. You know, and it was like honestly, it was $120 for the tree. And
Jesus,
I was like,
yeah, Christ.
That's what you do, you know, I guess.
It's been a while since I did it, I think.
Well, this is where you've got me beat on the fake tree.
Well, you
you dropped $40 on it once and then.
No, I think it was more than that. It might have been around
$100. Don't fucking brag on my show in my studio, right? Listen.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yeah. So
you're buying a nice tree.
Oh,
I must
nothing
have been
but the best for
Charlie,
me and my kids.
Charlie Brown trees.
No,
put
no.
the music back on.
So what I got is probably like a 7-foot tree, I'm guessing.
Okay.
6 to 7 feet.
Yeah.
And so then the next year I was like, let's just go see Lowe's because we weren't also not very happy with the tree.
Oh.
The other thing we did wrong with the Christmas tree, and I know that I look forward to the emails and the comments and reading them, is that I did the redneck watering where you put a little bit of Sprite, some magic syrup that keeps trees alive. Not only does it keep LeBron James in double-digit scoring percentages, but it also will keep a Christmas tree alive unless you buy it after Thanksgiving. That was our first tree that we bought in this new house.
Yeah,
we
right.
bought it just after Thanksgiving. And then, see, I water it. My wife lives the life of not having to do a fucking thing other than go to work. Right.
Right.
And so if I was going out on the road, I'd say, hey, don't forget to water the Christmas tree. What she would hear was never water the Christmas tree ever again.
Right.
Wait for it to turn brown and become a tremendous fire hazard.
Sure.
And then wait longer for me to come back home so that I can awkwardly and stickily
right.
take it out and put it on the
and
curbside.
And as you pull it out the front door, there's
needles everywhere. Well, especially when it's fucking brown. It's a
goddamn
tumbleweed, a Yuletide tumbleweed. That I'm pulling out of my living room.
Because Luna likes to keep it up till half Christmas. And
what's
so they,
half Christmas?
June sometime.
No.
I'm joking, but we keep it up a very long time. Or we used to. So
I hate that.
There were needles everywhere.
About us that I go, no, and you have to say I'm joking. I mean, we've been doing this show for almost 2 years now. You'd think I would be able to, either A, I would be able to understand, or B, you would also be able to understand when I'm pretending that you're not joking. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Anyway.
That's true.
Production meeting on out. The show. So anyway, we're going to get the tree, and we went 1 year to the Lowe's, and it was easily like half as much as a lot. $40 is what I spent, maybe $50 for this tree this year.
Yeah.
So I'm getting the tree, and I don't know if this has ever happened to you, but what I did is I went inside to buy the timers. I went to buy the timers and for the outside lights and the inside lights. And it was stupid. I thought it was cool to have a remote, right? I wanted a remote. Now I'm like, fuck that. I don't even want to touch it. I want it to be autonomous. I want a sentient Christmas tree. So I go get the timers now and I come back out and they're both of the kids. My wife, it's like she's never raised children. It's like every day. This is what's so great about her. Every day is her first day of being a mother.
Yeah.
Because she decides that it would be a grand idea to let each of the boys pitch a tree as to which tree they would like to have for Christmas.
Sure.
And then evidently, I get to be the one to shit on one of their Christmases.
Or both.
Yeah. If one of them did not have great, and then how does it work? The kid who probably cares the least is always the one who accidentally picks the good tree. So that I just come out and I'm doing like a fucking Pepsi challenge with my trees. And I'm like, oh, we'll take this one. And then my older son, who's like affected by this stuff, is like, oh, gee, my tree.
She pre-ruined Christmas for him. Yeah.
So I go, okay, go do some more laps. You know what I mean? And so I'm holding this tree. Because it's a very nice tree. And there's a guy, no kids. No kids this guy has. It's just him and his wife. And I do judge him.
Yeah.
You shouldn't be celebrating Christmas with the fervor. I mean, we're talking almost a month away. We're two and a half weeks till Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, what the fuck are you decorating for? Not really that mad. And he looks at me and then kind of goes back. And like they're in the same kind of corral. They keep them in little pins, I guess, because they don't want these aren't free range trees. And so he goes, so he's sitting there and he kind of gives me a couple looks. And then, and it's funny because I have my hand on the trunk. So my right hand is up. So it's reaching inside the trunk, but for all intents and purposes, as I've learned from Paco, I have my arm around the tree. We're going steady, me and this tree.
It's wearing your ring.
She's wearing my ring. My Letterman jacket is wrapped around her waist because she doesn't like the way the tight pants she's wearing. She doesn't want to show off her ass. I understand. She's modest, my tree. And he goes, he's ogling my tree while I've got arm around her.
Yeah.
I've got arm around tree. He's giving her the look down. He's like, eyes up and down. And I was like sitting there like looking. I'm like, is this fucking guy ogling my tree? Like, is he? I have given less creepy looks at my wife while she's in the shower than what this guy was giving my goddamn Christmas tree. Yeah.
Was he thinking anything special?
Oh, she's so pretty. I want to put my dick
Maybe
in it.
Maybe she's saying tree there. Yeah. Oh, tree's so pretty.
She's so pretty. I want to put my dick in it.
So anyway. So I'm sitting there, and then he gives her the look down, and I'm like, what the fuck is this guy's deal? And then he goes back and he's looking around. I mean, also never looking at my tree while his wife isn't looking. She's like in and around, and he's like, I think he knew. I go, go see if you can find another one. I'll sit next to this one, right? Mm. So then kids are out looking. He finds that there's none in that corral that he likes. Yeah. And he kind of takes another look and he checks in, ogles the tree again, gives it another. How many ups and downs?
How many looksies does he need?
Yeah, do you need to? Tree should be in your spank bank, bro. It should be locked and loaded at this point.
Take a picture, it'll last longer.
Get what he does.
What does he do?
Nice tree. That's what he says right in front of me. I got my arm around her. Nice tree. And I was like, am I going to fight this? Like, I didn't know. Am I supposed to punch him in the face? Like he's Biff Tannen or something? Like, I'm sitting there going, oh, and I was such a pussy about it. Like, I was just like, thanks. Like, I couldn't even defend my own Christmas tree's honor. This is the chosen symbol of my Christmas spirit.
Of your holiday, your familyness.
My familyness.
Familyness. I don't know what that is.
Holiness. I don't know. Let's throw the ness on the ends of some eggnogness.
Right.
It's, and I'm just sitting there going, oh, thanks. And he kind of gives it another look down, right? Goes like that.
Yeah.
Slowly does like a lingering, the equivalent of a visual touch and drag. You know what I'm talking about? Where somebody touches you and then they drag their fingers around your arm. He does the visual, like he kind of, his shoulders are moving, but he's still looking back.
Yeah.
As if the tree is going to be like, no, take me with you. You know what I mean?
Right.
It was very uncomfortable for me.
That is very strange, honest
with you.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I have another way of looking at this whole situation, which may help explain it.
I'm curious.
I think it might be maybe it was a wide stance kind of scenario.
What do you mean?
He was interested in you.
Oh.
Whenever his wife wasn't looking, he came over. He was finding a way to strike up a conversation with you.
You know what's funny is that I think that happens more often than I'm aware. You know what I mean?
I think so too.
I think we both can relate. The amount of times that men and women are just, you know, God damn, what's going on underneath that polo?
Why are they talking to me?
So now I'm nervous. Okay, guy goes.
Is there a call?
No, that's us.
Okay.
There's a guy. So I we don't know. Natalie comes back and says, I think we found another tree. Well, now I can't leave her by herself. Nobody's going to protect her. Now the Christmas tree lot in front of the Lowe's has become a dark alley of rape and kidnapping in my mind. You know, I don't know what kind of dirty things.
Drew Workman is apparently trying to reach us.
He is? Why is he texting you? What is going on with you and the listeners of this show?
I see them in the chat room talking about something. And
oh, there it is. It didn't refresh. Holy balls. This is the most complicated phone system that I think we could have created in the world. Listeners, we're going to give you Adam's cell phone number. You text him to let us know when you're on hold, and then I will maybe possibly take your call if I could shut up for 5 seconds. So Drew's on the line. We can hear him. You can chime in anytime you want to, Drew, while I'm finishing up this story. But please continue to hang out in the wind tunnel wherever you are. Are you live?
Please, a little loose. Oh, hey, guys.
Hey.
Sorry, I had to call your secretary, Jess, in order to get in.
That's okay, man. I'm a very busy, important person.
I can tell.
What did you want to say?
Long-winded to boot.
Yeah. Oh, how dare you.
No, just judging by how the show schedule has been lately, I doubt there's going to be a show next week, so I just want to call and wish you guys a Merry Christmas, and for Jessica, Happy Hanukkah.
So. Well, you're about 3 days too late for the Hanukkah. The tribal people have already moved on, and they're looking forward to New Year.
No, nobody pays attention to the Jews anyway.
Merry Christmas to you too,
nobody
sir.
Pays attention to the Jews anyway. All right, see you later. I like that Drew became our redneck neighbor on the sitcom. Yes, that is the show. Like,
he's
like,
looking over the fence.
Anyway, gotta go hate darkies. See you later. Like, well, thank you, and the same to you, Drew, and your fantastic family.
Yeah, man.
Hey, listen, you'll be in our thoughts. You'll be in our thoughts, man.
Appreciate you, sir. Later.
All right, bye.
All right, bye.
For a second, it sounded like he was also in an echo chamber. So now, okay, back to the story. Tree's there with me. Wife comes, says, there might be another tree.
Yeah.
I'm worried for the safety of this
Your
tree.
Your wife?
Yes.
Okay.
I'm not the tree. I know it's very confusing.
No, but not his wife.
Oh, that's true. No, his wife never even looked at me. Didn't even know. You know what? I don't know. I think maybe me thinks the lady doth ignore too much.
I think so, too.
I think she was also way into me. Maybe they were swingers. They both wanted to screw me.
That could be.
No, so I'm sitting there, and now a guy's leaving. And then his ears perk up when he says, I think we found another tree. Now he's looking right at my tree, hoping that I'll lean her up against the fence. Just left, like essentially presenting when I, you know what I mean? As soon as I walk away, she's like, she's a whore of a tree. Like, he thinks that she's just going to move on. And it's like, do you really want a rebound Christmas tree? I mean, realistically, let's honestly think
about
it.
Does he want sloppy seconds on your Christmas tree?
I love saying these words today. For all intents and purposes, I have chosen that tree.
Right.
That tree has been selected.
Had you peed on it yet?
No.
Okay.
I wait till I get it on the car. How pure can your Christmas be when you're hanging up and you're putting the popcorn around it? Because you got it. I had arm around. It wasn't like just we were holding hands. You know what I mean?
Right.
I was at least at second base.
Second base, maybe. Heavy,
I was working the plumage of the pine cones and everything. I was fluffing her limbs. Uh-huh. I was showing her what I had going on.
Sure.
And so, but the truth of it is, all bits aside, is that when my wife is like, I got another tree, and I'm like, well, she has to show me where this tree is.
Right.
I don't really want to drag an 8-foot tree around this lot. Like, it's a very tight thing. It's like one of these situations where they have a few pins. The whole thing is maybe 20 feet by 20 feet, guessing.
Right.
And that, so you can't really, and there's people all there. You can't drag this tree around without being a dick to everyone else around
sure.
you.
Sure.
And I did also, like, how insecure are you? But realistically, divulging my true feelings, but how insecure are you? Like, hey, can you hold this? Set this aside for me. It's my tree.
Right.
Put a tag on it. Worship. Keep this fucker away from my tree. You know? So then I said, okay, so now I have to tell the kids. I tell the kids, sit next to the tree. Don't leave the tree.
Right.
They're like, okay. Right. Like, they don't even understand why. But then at the same time, my kids, I don't know why, every time I do this, they always think that they're in some kind of horrible M. Night Shyamalan movie.
Yes.
Where it's like, don't leave, we'll be right back. And then, and that there, it's always act one of a Disney movie where it's like, now that's where we play the sad music. And then
right.
smash cut to them in the rain with the, at the funeral for us. And like, my parents are standing next to them. You're going to live with us now. You know, that kind of thing.
Sure.
But so they're sitting there. They go, okay. And then my wife goes and shows me, no joke, the ugliest tree I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
That, and then, so I'm like, no, this is horrible. This, why are you showing me this tree? Did you see the beauty? There are other guys trying to bang that tree right now. And so I go back to get it. Now we're waiting in line. And then I don't know if I just never noticed it till this year.
Yeah.
But I think we put maybe, possibly, a little too much emphasis on the importance of the tree. Because we're sitting there, and somebody says the word, I think this one's a little too dried out, like about their tree.
Yeah.
And then that makes my wife immediately look at our tree. God forbid I treated her and her hoo-ha the same way.
Oh, my God.
You know what I mean?
Oh, my God.
God forbid that I just go, I think it's a little dried out. Time to mosey on, you know, because she looked at it. She looked. She ogles the tree.
Yeah, yeah.
And she's like, hey, "Is it dried out? Do you think is it time to send the wherever you, whatever the glue factory equivalent is for a Christmas
paper
tree?
Factory?
I think it's paper. You think they make that out of a pine? Possibly.
No, they make tree. They make paper out of wood.
You couldn't even get 2x4s out of this. It's so small. But anyway, so now she's like, she goes, "Do you think our tree's moist enough? I said, "Yeah, it's plenty. Like, what the fuck is going on with my life that I'm having a conversation with another adult woman who pays taxes going, yeah, I think it's plenty moist. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then she goes,
it'll live for the next 17 days.
At least.
Yeah.
And then if you water it and then Sprite. Sprite gives it 4 months. You could do a half Christmas with Sprite.
Oh, that's true.
There's a guy who has a bigger tree behind her. And then she does this. I'm not kidding. This isn't us going like, oh, this is funny. Look at us do funny bits. This is
right.
Everybody else is very serious about this except for me. I was like, what the hell? Am I getting pranked right now? She goes,
isn't that almost always true though?
Kinda,
everyone else is more serious than you are.
That's very true, actually.
Yeah.
She gestures. Doesn't even point. She gestures like to the guy.
Eye roll.
Yeah, like the eye roll. Like look up. Like and kind of says, did you feel his branches? Like, did you get a little of his tree?
It is. It's a
his tree
location.
Looks pretty moist. Yeah.
You guys stumble into
We're
it.
We're one step away from whose tree is in my mouth. and then so much is going on in my world and with my wife that she actually had me for a minute. I don't know when I became this person, but I'm doubting all decisions. I'm doubting everything I decide to do. And I'm just like, am I smitten with this tree? Am I thinking about, you know, love before beauty?
Well, after you've been with a tree for a certain amount of time, it starts to make more sense just to stay with it than it does to move on.
It's cheaper, a lot of people say.
And it's also like you don't know what's out there.
And you go get another tree, you're going to have the same problems with that tree eventually, or maybe slightly different problems.
Whatever.
But so then comes the thing where every year we get the tree and you have to tell the guy, he's like, you want me to take off a layer? At the bottom, you know, they, you know, essentially give my tree a Brazilian blowout.
Yeah.
I think is what it's called.
Jesus. Yes.
Yeah. We're going to bleach the anus of my Christmas tree. And I've always just said, take, you know, 4 or 5 inches off.
Yeah.
You know, I lay my junk out there and I say,
well, you've got it to spare.
Not quite that long is what I say.
Right.
We went halfway. That's where I want the limbs to start.
Yeah.
And he gives me like a wow. And then he gets to trimming the limbs.
Yeah.
My wife always says, but we always trim it not enough. Cause she, God forbid, I get it home, I get it in the stand. She's like, oh, there's, cause I'm the husband,
who
doesn't have loppers or any way. I just look at limbs,
right?
Little tiny, not even the size of my finger limbs. And go, I don't know what to do.
Right.
We got to go back to the guy who's got the electronic corded, not even cordless.
It's not like she's married to me.
That's not what I was saying.
But that's effectively what it is. I'd be out there with a spork.
I got some dental floss. I can whittle it down. Give
exactly.
me, we'll have it ready by half Christmas, babe. So I go, all right. So she goes, I said, well, what do you want to do? She goes, I just always feel like, I go, she goes, I think we need like a foot is what she says. I go, all right, I'll go 8 to 10 inches, right?
Right, right.
And this is what it is to be a woman, I feel. Every woman is like this.
All right, listen up, ladies.
Even the ones listening right now, as smoking hot as you are, you're still bat nuts fucking crazy. Oh, my God. We get the tree home.
Yeah.
I've cut 10 inches. Yeah. I had the guy do it.
Yes.
She supervised. I went to go get the car.
Right.
She watched him cut so the trunk was at a proper...
Right.
Circumcised our tree. I get it out. I put it in the stand. She goes, I cut it too high. I'll fucking kill you.
Oh, my God.
I will kill you dead. I will kill you. And then it's so great when, you know, we talked about it a little bit last episode, is, you know, this time of year where now we have this very, you know, kind of traditional. What's the guy that everybody's, the painting? You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. The Saturday Evening Post. I can't think of it.
Or somebody in the chat room will tell us. But it's... Norman Rockwell.
Oh,
Rock Hudson. For some reason, I thought that was a guy nobody knew was gay. Norman Rockwell. That's funny.
Oh, my God.
So the Norman Rockwell moment.
He used to eyeball a Christmas tree.
I bet he did.
Yeah.
He's probably into oaks. But so anyway, I put the Bluetooth speaker on, and we play the Pandora Christmas music channel, the classic one. You know? And it's just nuts roasting on it. And we're decorating the tree.
Uh-huh.
And by we, I mean the children of my wife, and I'm trying to watch football.
Right.
And but it's just funny because my wife is decorating, and the kids are participating. But my wife is in the same kind of mindset that I'm in.
Yeah.
But the children, she doesn't ignore the kids like I do. So they expect a lot less from me.
Right.
Now, I don't, honestly, all kidding aside, I don't know why it is. I think it's because I just don't put up with the bullshit, and she's very nice to them.
Right.
So therefore, there's less complaining, even though there is some with me, but there's less. And so they're like, I want to do that. They're fighting over there, and then she loses it. And that's what Christmas is, right? Christmas is making these feeble attempts to have magical moments, only to have them, you know, at a ball of flame, you know, holy shit. Where's the Tylenol, you know, Christmas vacation?
Yeah, right. The strychnine.
So that was my Christmas tree getting... The tree is decorated because I'm not traveling. I'm watering the tree daily.
Oh, wow.
To be honest, full disclosure, have not done Sprite.
Oh.
Didn't get the Sprite. I got the little packet of what looks to be Alka-Seltzer for a Christmas tree. I think my tree has some kind of a hangover of some kind.
Yeah, I think so.
You put it in the water, and then that magical powder keeps it alive. I don't know. But it is, it's being watered, and I can't help. I look at it, and I go, is it dry? I just hate the fact that my wife gets to be the person who always gets to be the hindsight.
Right.
Everything for her is hindsight. See, this is what I thought would happen.
Right.
But all the other times that I did exactly what was supposed to be done, it's not like that's celebrated. It's just.
I hear you, brother.
Right?
Yeah.
Remember all the times that you failed?
Yeah.
Do you remember the stew incident?
I do. Listen, you fucker. I'm trying to move past that.
What was it? There's celery in it.
No, it was corn.
Corn.
Is that corn?
Right. Is that corn?
So we say that across the street all the time now.
And it's funny, people in the chat room, this is the other kind of thing of this this whole experience I'm learning, is people are referencing bourbon and whiskey in the while talking about the holidays. I got to be honest. I started having a shot of tequila at night just about that time. You remember how I talked about the kids and I have the same cranky time now?
Sure.
What happens is I take a shot of tequila. All of a sudden,
you fixed cranky time.
Yeah, I did. It's like my own personal nap or binky. that's my pacifier. Yesterday, I had a whiskey ginger. Oh my God, I was in a great mood by the time the wife came home.
Right.
And it's so weird. I'm not even rocking a buzz or anything, but there's just something just taking that little edge off.
There you go.
I'm going to start giving the kids whiskey.
That sounds like a good plan.
Everybody's going to be in a better mood when mom comes home from work because they're all going to be, or maybe we push it too far and then we're just, you know, we're emotional drunks too. Like, I love you, mom. What was the other thing we wanted to talk? Oh, you asked me yesterday after the show about my jury duty situation.
Yeah.
got called in to do the jury duty. And the thing about jury duty is, like, you know that phrase where people say, if you're ever lost in the woods, just start, all you need when you go camping is a deck of cards. Because if you start playing solitaire, somebody will come along behind and show you what part right, you're missing.
What you should be doing.
That's what you do when you're lost. That's jury duty as well. If you ever, like, you just keep a jury duty summons. And you just announce, oh, I got jury duty. And then people will flock to say, this is how you get out of it.
Right.
And jury duty is the only time where you don't have to do the look around check to say you're a racist. Like, you just say you're a racist.
Right, right.
And I found it kind of ironic that I didn't like the idea of pretending to be racist. I don't know if that makes me a real racist. I like a racist joke. I like to kid about and poke fun right. at the stupidity of racism. Mm-hmm. But maybe when you do that a lot and think that's funny when you're actually trying to sell it on a government under penalty and perjury, under yeah. oath, you
yeah.
know what I mean?
Yeah.
That maybe it's like, eh, I'm taking it too far. But so you get there. And one of the things that I thought was funny is that in around the parking garages, it says public parking.
Yeah.
And then you pull into the public parking and it says no juror parking. And I was so tired. Oh, I was like, because my first thought was like, how can they do it?
Right.
Now, if it was 10 a.m. and I had slept well the night before, I'd be like, fuck you. You won't know.
Right.
I'll give you my 20 bucks. I'll move on with my life or whatever.
Right.
Later, I found out that they actually have a designated parking garage for the jurors, and I'm just an idiot. That's a given. But I get there, and then it's what it is.
And inside that, they have slots just for racists. So if you pull in, you
they're up front because you know you go in there, I'm a racist, and then you pull out first.
Yeah.
The non-racist parking is tandem. You have to pull in first. But have you ever served jury duty?
I have.
Yeah? How was it for you?
It was fine. I didn't, it was fine. I didn't get on a case or anything.
I don't want you to think I'm mad, but I just now noticed it and I think it's hilarious. Is that mostly because we make so much fun of this?
Yeah.
Is that you're literally having snacks while
I'm eating. You threw it to me and I had just put food in my mouth. So I was like,
I don't care, but what's even funnier is we're 30 minutes in. You have been eating the whole time. I didn't even notice. You're treating this like it's a film. Like you're just sitting here eating a snack, watching me.
I was doing it very, very quietly.
You're doing great. Yeah. I'm just saying it's humorous for the listener to imagine you just,
I've been enjoying some peanuts, honey roasted.
Okay.
No one heard anything. No one heard anything. I was so stealthy.
So
I'm ready to answer your question.
No, it's fine. You did. You said you didn't get on a case.
I didn't get on a case. I've gone down twice. Once I was sort of paneled and interviewed, and on that occasion, whatever the case was, it, you know, they said, have you ever known anyone who XYZ, whatever they were?
Mm-hmm.
And I went, yeah. And they go, get out of here.
That was impressive, too.
They excused me because I had an association with that kind of an event.
Oh.
And they didn't want me prejudiced.
This is literally this is what I love about the government.
Yeah.
This is literally the least opportune time for me to get jury duty
sure.
in my mind. Like, I'm like, I want to do my job. I got to get the blah, 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 blah.
Right, right.
And this is when they give it to me. But also the easiest time for me to, because I found out after going there, we live in a world where companies pay you to be at jury duty. And I'm like looking around like, why are all you fuckers angry to be here?
I know.
Everybody's getting a paycheck.
Right.
Not just the $5 now. Like I thought, you could be angry about the $5, but no, I got paid the same exact amount of money to sit there and read a book.
Like a vacation day or a sick day or whatever.
But it didn't even count as one of my vacation or sick days. Right.
Well, I think maybe the people who are there and angry about it are people who actually do something when they're at work. But whatever it is you're doing,
I do a lot.
No, I know, but it's not like, correct me if I'm wrong, I could be making a lot of trouble here. Your work on any given day, 90% of it is, this has to happen right now.
Yeah.
I got to push this button now, I got to do this thing right now for the machine to go. And when you're not there, that doesn't pile up. Somebody just comes in and makes sure it happens right then.
Yes.
And then about 10% of it is putting together bits and doing other stuff that then you're falling behind on that smaller portion of it, whereas most people, when they go to work, have a mountain they're trying to climb and so that's missing that day.
Yeah, everybody's got it harder than Justin.
Exactly.
Okay.
I'm going back to the peanuts.
Thank you very much. Paco's punched in and punched out. Is that your 90% or your 10% of your... Which one piles up? That's funny stuff. So anyway, I'm there and I'm reading the book. And then everybody's there. Everybody who is there, and I never knew this about jury duty, and I know that you're like, no shit, Sherlock, but everybody that's there does not want to be there. And when I mean everybody, right. I even mean the people who are there for their job.
It's their job. Yeah, absolutely.
I was wondering.
They might want to be there less than anybody.
What excuse do they use to get out of jury duty to go back to their job of selecting jurors?
I don't know. This is a good question.
But they're like, oh, okay. And they give the same freaking spiel.
Yeah.
Every day to the and every day they deal with the same obnoxious assholes who think they're so important that they can't be there.
Yeah, and who are mad at them simply for doing their job.
And my favorite part is, too, all of the people who had any kind of like an ethnicity and spoke a second language.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Were they playing that card?
Oh,
there
really?
Was one guy who was like literally talking back to her in Spanish saying, I don't understand. And she said, she goes, well, you understand enough to be able to answer now to say you don't understand after I just explained that if you don't speak English clearly enough, because she wasn't like there was a translation in Vietnamese and Spanish. She was just saying it. And then this idiot chimes in with like, oh, no hable, I can't.
Right.
And so she just looked at him like, nice try, hot shot. And so one of the things I did for the radio show is I Instagrammed. So if you want to see pictures of me at jury duty, you can go to @BillHandleShow on Instagram.
Yeah.
And I run the Instagram for the show. So it's just me taking selfies, right? So I'm sitting there like, taking selfies. And then she goes, also, no selfies, no taking pictures.
No like, social media,
I was like, well, I'm not on a case. It's not like I'm going to be like, look, juror number 12.
Well, hang on. If I sent it to my Instagram, 13 people would see it.
Uh-huh.
You're sending it to the Instagram at a radio station.
6,000 or 7,000, I think.
Yeah, I think.
But the funny thing, too, was that she goes on to talk about all the celebrities that have been there. And I think that's kind of what she was talking about. Mm. She goes, one time I'm sitting there. And it's so funny that she says, you can't do this. But then she likes to brag about this is the highlight of her job. She's like, right back over there, Tom Hanks, Warren Beatty sat here. And then she was like, what, in your chair right there, sir, Annette Bening. I'm sitting there going, this is fucking crazy. And then the craziest thing happened. Two incidents. There was a woman who came in who looked like white trash. You know, what my father would describe as rode hard, put away wet.
No, I love that expression.
She had a pantsuit on with an ill-fitting shirt underneath.
Yeah.
And then she goes, where do I know you from? To this other guy, not me.
Yeah.
And he's sitting like three chairs away from me. And he goes, I think the gym. She goes, the gym. And then she says, I thought it was either TV or the gym. And in my head, I was like, could there be more two different places to recognize?
Was it Deborah Winger?
Maybe. I don't know who that is. I know she's incomparable,
oh my God,
I'm sure.
Yes.
So she's like, is it TV or the gym? So they start. Now, mind you, she only knows this guy. Like, it's not like they've worked out together, clearly.
Yes.
She just says, oh, I've walked by you while you're on the elliptical, or I've been on the elliptical and you've walked by pretending not to look at my ass in yoga pants.
Yes.
On your way to get a drink or something, right? She starts chatting this guy up like they went to high school together. Like she's like
he was holding a good tree.
She ogled his tree, if you know what I'm saying. And she goes, is this your first time? You know, and he goes, yeah. She's like, oh, this is like my third time. And then she like goes off and she's talking about it. She goes, you know, you're supposed to dress up. Like she said, they tell you no t-shirts. And he goes, well, he had a button-up shirt that was over the t-shirt. Like, well, when I walked in, I had this button up. Maybe that's why. And they go, well, I don't think you're supposed to wear jeans. And then he goes, I don't know. It said business casual. And she goes, well, what does that mean? And he kind of looked at her. You could tell he was getting irritated. He goes, this? Like it pointed to his clothes.
It's casual Friday is what it means.
Then she's like, here's the thing. I'm a guy who talks a lot.
Yeah.
And I will talk to strangers. And if I'm looking at you like, bitch, you need to shut up. You are really obnoxious.
You've
like,
done something wrong.
There's something wrong with you. Because I'm like, God, shut up, lady. This guy does not want to talk to you. And then she goes, I had to get up at 5 a.m. and so I could be here, and I didn't want to come. I didn't want to come. I just
just want to sit there and cuddle with my bunny. I'm not kidding. Cuddle with my bunny. I miss my bunny. I miss my little bunny cat. No. My little bunny. I wish she was here with me. And I'm like, you're like 42. What are you doing? And then she goes, oh my God, come here. Come here. Come here. Come here. And the guy's like, what? Like, I don't want to get it. Like, come. And it's this weird thing where guys are like this. Like,
yeah.
If she was his girlfriend of like 4 years and he said, come here, he'd be like, fuck. But he would do it.
Yes.
But he doesn't know this chick. But because we're dudes, like, there's something hidden in like the tone of a woman's voice that when she says, come here, come here, come here, you got to go, okay. But he was resistant because he's like, I don't have an obligation to do this. And I think at some point he just kind of like, what the hell else am I going to do? So he gets up. She goes, look at the, like, and she's looking through the window at a building that's adjacent to the courthouse.
Yeah.
And she goes, look at that. You see that? And he goes, the building? She goes, yeah, you see it though? Not, what about the building? He goes, I don't know. She goes, there's goat heads on the building. Do you see the goat heads there? He goes, no. She goes, no, look right there. Look, there's goat heads. And he goes, I guess I could see it. She goes, it's the Illuminati. And he goes, is it? She goes, yeah, and she's whispering. I'm not kidding. Yeah, it's the Illuminati.
In case the building here.
But she's stage whispering.
Right.
Like, I could still hear her from 4 feet away.
Right, right.
It's the Illuminati. And he's like, oh. And then he just turns around and goes back to where he was sitting. She goes, uh-huh. And she looks at it and goes, I can't believe they put an Illuminati goat head on the building.
And she's going to be a jury foreman.
Yeah. No, she got picked.
Yeah, I bet she did.
She got picked. I think she got excused. Shocking.
Yeah.
And then the other great conversation. So then I moved to a different spot. And I'm sitting there reading my book, and there was a guy there who just, this is one of those conversations that they were walking kind of by, and I picked up in the middle. He's like,
yeah.
Oh, so you still got your Jetta? And the other guy goes, oh, yeah, yeah. He goes, mine, you know, the thing, the transmission was kind of acting up, so I got it fixed, but it's, you know, it's running good, I think. And I'm not kidding. These guys had 5 minutes of talking about Jettas.
About Jettas.
Specifically. Like they were in a car club. You and I lived next door to a car guy who could have a conversation. Corvettes, Transams, Mustangs. Right. These are cars to have a conversation about.
What's the stitching like on the...
In the interior. Is that factory? Or what'd you do? You got it updated? Yeah, they're all right. Okay, not as good as factory, but whatever. I understand. It's, that vinyl doesn't hold up for 4,800 years.
Yeah.
But these guys are talking about not even like 68 Jettas, if there is such a thing. They're talking about like 2010 Jettas.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, it's a good car, man. I really like it. I'm enjoying it. I'm going to drive it as long as I can, you know, man? Like, just nothing like German engineering and the wind in my hair.
Right, right.
I just thought that was, so those were my crazy experiences. And then to not get selected, there was a moment where they told you California, I guess, or maybe it's just Southern California, has a one day or one case. So I guess the way it used to be is if I got a jury duty summons, I could be stuck there for 10 days until I got assigned, or then I would be excused. Now, if you're there for one day from, 7
dawn
in the morning
dusk,
until 4 or 5, and you don't get assigned a case, you're done. You don't have to come back for another year.
And often they'll know by 2 o'clock that they aren't going to be pulling any more jurors, and then they'll go, that's it, your day is done, go.
And so they, 4 o'clock, I think it's about 4:20 is when it happened, and they said, they go, all right, we got another panel, and I'm not kidding, a bunch of grown-ass people, at least 80 of them go, oh!
Why is it considered? I would be fascinated. I would love to do that. Of course,
you got to call them. You got to call them and be the. You got to take bullets for guys like me. Yeah, okay. I didn't hate it, but I was like, I didn't want to be there either. But
no, I mean, like on a case, I would love that.
See, and that's the thing. I don't know that that lawyers want somebody who's dying to be on a jury on the jury.
Well, I don't go in and say, "Hey, I want to do." But I'm saying that in my secret heart, I want to be able to stand up and say, "Objection."
I don't think you should go to. I think you need to be a paralegal.
Oh, okay.
But I would like to see that.
Sidebar.
Sidebar. Can I consult counsel?
I'd like to approach the bench.
Can we excuse this nipwad, please? I told you. No, they said the other thing about the. I forgot this, that they tell you in the thing about what you can wear. Like, if you do get assigned to a case, they say don't come back in shirts that say guilty. Not guilty.
Oh.
Let them hang. Let them fry.
Yeah.
She said, it's been done. And she goes, and those people were not sent home.
Yeah.
He goes, actually, what happens is, sure, they were excused, but they were asked to immediately come back and start the whole process all over again.
Right.
And I was like, wow. I just love, that's the part I would like to see is like how many times people try to do the same shit again and again and again.
Right.
So,
right.
That's my jury duty. What was the other thing that you said as you were leaving?
There's
something about your trip or something that's happening.
I know I have a moment of the week when the time comes.
Oh, but, okay. Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. Well, while we're here and thinking about it, let me make sure I didn't close. Yes. So this is from last year. This is Paco's Christmas song.
Oh, yes. Thank you.
If you've been watching, what an asshole. If you've been listening to the show, these are probably current references from last December.
Oh, absolutely.
But still, I think worth an enjoy.
Three dogs fighting in a muddy yard. Paco falling in a heap. Luna helps get him up to his feet, but all he can manage is to weep.
The karaoke version of them singing something.
Grand folks begging for a pair of shoes.
Too soon.
Justin turns them both away. Spent all his dough on a new studio that he didn't need. Some folks say, you know, my teenagers are gonna hide. They're filled with nothing but contempt for me inside. Child will someday tell his psychoanalyst about how his dad would yell and yell and yell.
How dare you?
So we're offering this simple thought about the magic in our lives. We wouldn't trade fatherhood if we possibly could, but don't. Merry Christmas. Just please don't. Dear God, don't get us started on everyone.
Oh, I didn't walk on that. Good job. Well done. Paco Lanzini, everybody.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
You know, 12 months ago, but it's like it could just, it holds up. It holds
up. It
sure
does. Well, the classics, every time you hear it, you find something new. I was 1 month into my Bell's palsy at that point. I can hear it all over the place.
Oh, really? I heard nothing but solid plosives.
Yeah, it sounds like an old man to me.
Well, that's not Bell's palsy. I hate to tell you.
You fucker. And folks begging.
Maybe try that. Keep your teeth in next time you record
okay.
it.
Good, right? good call.
Good note?
Yeah, good note.
All right, you want to do some moment of the week? Or did your memory jog of what you wanted to?
I don't know. My memory is useless.
Let's do some moment of the week.
Yeah.
You made them. You love them, and sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them, but occasionally they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the week, brought to you by Stitcher, the free app that handles all your podcasting needs without having to sync to your computer. Stream all your favorite podcasts right to your Droid, BlackBerry, or iPhone. Just go to thedadpodcast.com and click on the Stitcher logo on the left-hand side. It's free, people, and they give us money if you do it.
Hit me.
All right, so I've been spending a lot of time, as I always do, driving Diego around to school mostly, and just the quality of byplay has suddenly increased. He was very down for a while, 2-3 weeks. He did break up with the party girl.
He lost his vagina. It happens to the best of us.
Yes. Not sure. That's exactly. I hadn't thought of it that way before, but yeah.
Do you want to know if that car was there?
You fucker.
No, don't.
Luna, because your wife's
here.
Listening.
I know. Turn off the radio, Luna. This could get ugly.
Oh, Merry Christmas to me.
And so he's come out of that funk a little bit, and he's in a good mood. And that kid is funny. He's fast. He's got some good jokes. I finally now realize what it must be like to hang around with me, because he's hilarious.
Listen, I know firsthand.
But he has started. He doesn't have a lot of boundaries as far as
that he gets from me.
Yes, I think so. So anyway, we were. I have to give him credit, even when he's even when the jokes are at my expense. We were driving along. I'm not sure if you've seen it over here on Burbank Boulevard. There's a place called Cashmere Hair. I think it's a salon. I don't know. I've never looked at it that closely.
So.
Yeah. And he said, what does that even mean? What does cashmere hair mean? And I said, well, the cashmere is a kind of a material, you know, clothing. I said, well-known sweaters, you know, cashmere sweaters is luxurious and just wonderful to touch and so on and so forth. And they make coats and so on and so forth. I said, it's like a very high quality, high end kind of fabric. And I guess they're associating that with having luxurious, you know, only for the rich type hair. And he said, you know an awful lot about sweaters and hair for a guy who doesn't have either.
That's good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. So, That's the kind of quality chat I'm getting these days. But I appreciate it. I said I call him a fucker, and then I say, but well done.
Well done.
Well done. Anyway, what have you got for us?
Let's see. I think I may have already, I don't think I shared it as a moment of the week. I don't know. It's been so long since we've done episodes consistently, but tomorrow, as of the recording of this, is Thursday, so I don't know when this will probably drop, but Friday the 18th is when Jack will be performing his preschool Christmas show.
Uh-huh.
And he's, you know, so they've been doing Christmas carols for, I've been paying, I think, for him to learn Christmas carols for 4 months now. Because when they're four, it's really hard. So
yeah.
They're like, listen, continents, no, that's unfair. But no, he's been practicing. And so it's funny because I want to record it, but I can't get to the phone fast enough. And then by the time he sees it, it's gone.
Yeah.
And he won't do it again. But he does the Feliz Navidad. Have I told this story?
No, you
haven't.
Okay,
good. He goes, he does it, and it's so funny because Natalie makes fun of both of them because I'm not so good with lyrics on songs. I don't think that they're important. Yeah. I think that the tune and the emotional context or tone of it is what I like about music. So
yeah.
I don't care what's being said. I will make up my own words and make them fit to whatever thing I need. But
yes.
So he's going, Feliz Navidad, Feliz Navidad. And then he starts going, ba-da-dee-da-ba-gee-ga-bee-da-d. Like just pure gibberish, but to him,
yes,
nailed it. Like, you know, you almost imagine him with like, you know, like Mariah Carey, finger to the ear. Ba-da-dee-da-bee-da-bee-dog. Like he's hitting each one of them. And then he did yesterday in the bathroom, and I was like running around the house like a moron trying to grab my phone.
Yeah.
He was singing the national anthem. And it was, oh, say, can you see, blurred the eyes of the river. He has the melody down pat.
Right.
But the words, bullshit,
no idea.
Fuck America.
Yeah.
He's like, and it was making me laugh so hard. And then, Jacob.
Yeah.
Jacob is, as much as they both are frustrating me, as I talked about before, but Jacob is, for being a 7-year-old, yeah, he is 2 weeks away from his own AARP card. This child, he recently, we're walking the dogs, right?
Yeah.
And he sees a shopping cart, like, you know, like the little common grass area island they like to put.
Oh, yeah,
yeah. You know, they remind you it belongs to the city, but you're the asshole who has to keep it up kind of thing.
Yeah.
Well, in one of those is a shopping cart, And he walks by and he goes, really? Really? Not kidding. It took, yeah, that's right. Oh, that's my wife now. She was like, and I'm sitting there going, wait, what? Like, because I was looking around like the dog had to poop or something.
Right, right.
And it took me like another half a second to realize, because I had already seen it and like, what a bunch of fucking ass. Like, that's how I translated. Right. But he evoked, really? Really? And he's like indicating.
Right.
Because I'm like, what? He goes, look. I said, so you talking about the shopping cart? And he goes, who does that? I hugged him. And I held him ever so close to my bosom. And I said, I don't know, my sweet, sweet Republican son. But one day you will be a one percenter.
Oh my God, that's great.
Yeah, that's good stuff. All right, before
you switch gears completely and just to hijack things for a minute, I did want to just make a very clear point of saying Merry Christmas to the listeners and to thank them for their support. This show means a lot to me, and I've put up with you a lot in order to get to them.
You're welcome.
And in any case, thank you all for listening and so on.
They are fantastic people. And I was going to do something very similar to that moment there. This is a song that hit me today while I was at work. So, you know the usual plugs. Everybody go to the Amazon, blah, blah, blah.
Sure.
All the social media handles are all in the KFI Justin, as if you want to find out what stupid shit I'm doing at work. I got the cable, but I keep forgetting to plug it in so people can stare at me.
Okay.
If one of you guys listening honestly would like to see me, send me a tweet either for the Dad Podcast or KFI Justin or whatever and say, hey, I wouldn't mind seeing what you look like when you're being an asshole at work. And then that'll remind me and motivate me enough.
Sure.
But this song, I think it ties into, I don't know if it's meant to be a Christmas song. But I liked it a lot, so that is what I will end with. So on behalf of my dear friend Paco Lancini, a.k.a. Adam Dooley, this is Justin Worship saying, Happy New Year, Merry Christmas. We will probably be back at some point after Christmas. This is a horrible time. I'm not going to. We'll be back sometime after Christmas. I know we're going to take the week of Christmas off, and then there might be some conflicts that I will have after Christmas. So maybe we'll come back, maybe we won't.
Merry Christmas. Oh. Thanks for listening.
Yeah. That's not true. We will come back. But anyway, hug your kids, hump your loved ones, and stay frosty, my friends.
It's so important to make someone happy. Make just one someone happy. Make just one heart-to-heart you. You sing to one smile that cheers you. One face that lights when it nears you. One girl, you're everything to. Fame, if you win it, comes and goes in a minute. Where's the real stuff in life to cling to? Love is the answer. Someone to love is the answer. Once you've found her, build your world around. Just one, someone happy, and you will be happy too.
Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, all.